A reading from the Gospel of Luke. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum.'" And he said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine all over the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them, except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many with a skin disease in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
Earlier this week, I was talking to a close friend here at Broadway who told me that the Bible has never seemed more relevant to her than right now. I understood what she was saying. There is power in the Bible's stories and substance of strength in its pages. And there are times of particular pregnancy when there is a kind of prophetic urgency to be found in the Word of God for the people of God. Now is one of those times. Surely now is the time when a story about a certain sermon sparking uproar and outrage echoes awfully profoundly. And scriptures about kindness and mercy being shown to and from foreigners take on a sharp-edged poignancy. 2,000 years ago, a young rabbi in the region of Galilee came to preach in his hometown of Nazareth and stood to read from the great scroll of the prophet Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He rolled up the scroll, sat down to preach, and delivered such an extraordinarily powerful, populist sermon that afterwards the Bible says all spoke well of him and were amazed at the words which had come from his mouth. It would have been a banner day. Only thing was, this was the same rabbi who would soon later say, "Woe unto you when all speak well of you." And soon after that, the rabbi added unto his populist sermon a universalist coda, which in just a few seconds had the congregation going from slapping his back and speaking so highly of him to suddenly striking out at him in a fierce fit of outrage. It was a prophetic word from the young preacher. And he prophesied rightly when he said to them that no prophet is welcome in his own hometown amongst his own people. And he began to speak of other prophets in the Hebrew Bible who had been rejected by their own people and accepted by foreigners of another place. And in no time split, we are told that the people in his own hometown got so filled with rage at him and what they'd heard him say that they got up and drove him out of town and led him to a brow of a hill where they intended to hurl him off of a cliff like a goat in front of God and everyone. This text is why when I was going back to pastor my own hometown 14 years ago, I was so glad Lubbock, Texas has no hills. We don't even have mole hills. But hill or no hill, in their own home church or one like it, I guarantee you there are plenty of preachers all across the country today who are counting the cost, wondering and praying on what they'll say, knowing that they too could be hurled out of their pulpits for daring to preach what is deemed to be too universal or too prophetic or too political or not party line enough. And that is why I have to commend Bishop Mary Ann Edgar Buddy of the Washington National Cathedral for the faithfulness she demonstrated in her inaugural sermon 2 weeks ago. For she did honor both to the pastoral and the prophetic call of Jesus Christ and the disciples who follow after him. I thought what she did in her sermon was kind and courageous and the ultimate embodiment of what it means to speak truth to power with grace and with care. Yes, they've called her nasty. They've called her radical. They've called her worse. But we remember what Jesus said. Woe unto you when all speak well of you. And blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and utter all manner of false things about you on account of me. Rejoice and be glad. For great is your reward in heaven, for so they said the same about the prophets who came before you. You know why I think there was so much outrage against Bishop Buddy's sermon? Because she was speaking of kindness and mercy and compassion and love. And perfect love casts out all fear. But if fear is your weapon, if fear is your weapon, then you will do just about anything to keep from being disarmed. And if you are speaking, if you are speaking of the universality of God's love, then yes, there is going to be outrage and there will be uproar. That day when Jesus preached in his home synagogue, he spoke of an officer in a foreign army who humbled himself before the God of his arch enemies and so was healed. And Jesus also spoke of another foreigner, a widow woman, who showed kindness and compassion to the stranger during a Great Depression and so was saved. And something tells me these stories are not going to make it into that so-called Bible curriculum in Oklahoma. They're not the Bible stories everyone tells, but they are the Bible stories that Jesus told. And the point of his telling the stories about a Zarephathan widow and a Syrian general, like the one he told about a good Samaritan, is that we are to go and do likewise. We are to show kindness and compassion and humility towards the stranger, just like they did. This is all in the Bible. It's all in the Bible. And it is a part of what makes that book so relevant and so radical for just such a time as this. Desmond Tutu used to say that when the missionaries came into South Africa, they had the Bible in their hands, and the indigenous people had the land. He said that the missionary said, "Let us pray." Everyone closed their eyes, and when they opened their eyes, the indigenous people had the Bible, and the missionaries had the land. But Tutu said that was a grave, grave mistake. Because, he said, the Bible is the most radical, revolutionary book that was ever written. So when the great South African human rights advocate and Anglican priest Michael Scott was accused of carrying revolutionary literature, he pleaded guilty to the charge, saying to one reporter, "Oh yes, it's my favorite reading, the Lord's Prayer and the Beatitudes." Blessed are you. Blessed are you who are poor in spirit, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the land. And blessed are the merciful, for they are the ones who are going to be shown mercy. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And blessed are you. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all manner of things evil against you. For they did the same thing to Jesus and to the prophets and now to Bishop Buddy. But this is the price that one pays when one speaks of kindness and mercy and love and a God whose will it is to have compassion on all people. Not only near, but also far. Not only citizen, but also stranger. And when Jesus had finished his Thus Saith the Lord sermon, the people were either amazed or outraged. But whether they heard or refused to hear, they all knew that there had been a prophet among them. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, mother of us all, and together all of God's people do say,